organizational features of a typical committee or council. So what are the features? Let us discuss in this slide. So there will be an adequate number of representatives from labor and management. There will be labor representatives who shall be elected by at least the majority of the workers in the establishment, and management will be represented by top level officials, very obvious. There are two co-chairmen, one from each side, who serves concurrently or on a rotating basis. A secretary is also appointed. There will be a third party facilitator who is acceptable to both labor and management and may assist the committee, particularly in the early stages of its operations. The third party facilitator's role becomes very, very crucial in the initial stage. Well, there could be subcommittees may be formed to consider specific concerns at the shop floor level. So as kind of, you know, things evolve, both labor representative as well as management, they feel to have joint subcommittees who could collectively address the workplace related issues, productivity related issues, safety related issues, skill development related issues, customer complaint related issues, various things. To ensure the non-adversarial character of the labor management committee, issues should be addressed using the problem solving process, which could involve following steps. So define the problem. So it should not be like, you know, your opinion versus my opinion. And the representative of management and workers, they should not unnecessarily start getting into fighting instead of kind of having a very objective discussion. So the first step to have a systematic problem-solving approach is define the problem. Define in a very objective manner. So get all the facts, find the true cause of the problem using problem analysis. Brainstorming session to discuss cause and effect diagram, propose solutions, evaluate, propose solutions, select the best solutions. So brainstorming is a good technique, in fact, to pick the diverse ideas, to gain the different perspectives, so to speak. Okay? And then evaluate them. Evaluate them on the basis of cost and benefit. There could be evaluation based on the implementation rigor, the cost point of view, and then finally a solution can be proposed. And then, you know, the best solution could be implemented. But necessarily what is happening through this approach, that both the workers as well as management, they are jointly kind of, you know, arriving at the best solutions and going for implementation. And then implement the corrective action, evaluate the corrective actions undertaken over time, and understand and kind of, you know, develop the learning about the solutions implemented earlier. Parties to a labor management cooperative effort may require a service of a third party facilitator. A facilitator can assist in a variety of ways, particularly in the initial stages. So this is very, very crucial. In the initial stage where both the parties are kind of, you know, gain the understanding, deep understanding about how the workers and the management, they'll function together, facilitator's role become very, very crucial. Facilitator help enhance mutual trust between labor and management. Assist the parties in identifying common interests, problems and opportunities. Facilitate the first few and often difficult meetings of new labor management committee. And guide the committee in a problem solving techniques. So facilitation is a great skill that way, and the role of facilitator has become very, very crucial, because it is facilitator who would bring the skill of kind of, you know, decelerating the, you know, individualistic way of seeing the things. No, this is my way or highway. No. Facilitator would rather, through by asking powerful question, helping both the parties to stay tuned with the bigger objective. Okay, a facilitator try to make both the parties aware that please come back to the main purpose, so to speak. And that is how facilitators remove the roadblocks in the conversation, especially in the initial stage, and also implementation. So that way facilitation becomes a very, very important skill, and facilitator's role becomes very, very important. Moving on, now procedure to ensure cordial, harmonious, and collaborative industrial relations. So communication and meeting with union representatives and workers should happen on a regular basis. This is very, very important because these communications actually help both the parties to table their concern, their ideas, their suggestions, and in fact resolve them or evaluate them at least in an amicable manner or joint manner. The management representative, managers should regularly meet on weekly and monthly basis. Now, the frequency basically brings both discipline aspect as well as, you know, the eagerness to sort of, you know, raise their concern or give their sort of suggestions, etc., leading to togetherness, leading to camaraderie, so to speak. Industrial relations managers should conduct weekly meeting and resolve grievances immediately. The resolution of grievances and communicating back to the employees or the workers, that's very, very important. That builds the trust over time. Senior leadership should meet on monthly basis with union. CEO of the company should also communicate the goals of the businesses and situation of the businesses to the employees on quarterly basis. There's no point hiding with the union or the workers if the company is not doing well, or if there is a big customer complaint, or if there is a, like, you know, big waste, so to speak. Okay, so all such kind of things must be kind of, you know, shared and jointly worked upon to resolve and address. The voices of employees should be captured during these meetings, and the issues, grievances should be resolved immediately. We discussed this previously that, you know, more and more we listen to the voices of the employees, the workers, and genuinely, with sincerity, with commitment, try to address them, will be creating more and more trust. And the trust will lead to the confidence of employees that they are kind of, you know, safe. There is someone who is actually addressing the issues, and I can give here my full sort of, you know, commitment. I can give my everything to this company. Line managers and shop floor managers should regularly interact with IR department for day-to-day issues of production associates, and should communicate the issues to IR department for resolving the same. Now, let us move on. In this slide, I'm going to discuss about, I'm just giving you one example of evaluation of the status of industrial relation in your organization. You can use the Likert scale of 1 to 5. 1 is very poor, 2 is poor, 3 is fair, 4 is good, and 5 is very good. And then there could be questions like satisfaction with working conditions, satisfaction with canteen facility provided, satisfaction with wage increment, satisfaction with allowances, satisfaction with retirement benefits. To try to capture as many issues or the factors as you can. Ideally speaking, whatever effort you are putting to enhancing the safety, the work, improving the workplace condition, the skill enhancement of employees, etc., etc. Please capture all those issues and then take feedback, so that you will, you as a management, I am saying, you will be able to gain fairly good ideas about which are the areas where workers do not see the improvement the way you are seeing. So there is a clear gap. So there are some more examples: satisfaction with crash facilities, satisfaction with employee welfare activities, satisfaction with grievance handling procedure, satisfaction with treatment by the superiors, satisfaction with situation of mutual respect, empathy, give and take. So, I mean, the list should be as exhaustive as possible. A well-structured, close-ended questionnaire should be used for data collection from the respondents. The respondent should be picked on the basis of random sampling. I mean, you know, nobody should kind of feel that there was understanding between the target respondents and the management who kind of administered the questionnaire, so to speak. Okay, so I mean, it should be random sample, and sample size of the study should be at least 50. There should be sufficient space in the questionnaire for the remarks from the respondents, such as cleanliness and housekeeping in the canteen is very bad. In the creche, the caretaker behaves very roughly with children. So the idea is that there should be enough space to allow people to write down their comments. Some more example: the supervisors treat the workers like slaves. There is some politics and unfair decision making anywhere, everywhere. All the remarks should be compiled with tally marks and should be presented to the top management. So basically, you know, which issues are coming by more voiced by more number of people. Such kind of issues become the most important issues, so to speak, which should be immediately addressed. Moving on, the study of wage settlement process. Wage settlement process is very important for keeping cordial, harmonious and collaborative industrial relations. As a precondition, it is necessary that the procedure stated in the above section must be followed religiously and regularly in order to get total success in wage settlement process. So, if we kind of, you know, if I tell you that what is the process of wage settlement, it goes like this. So, on receipt of the charter of demand from the recognized union, management would analyze and evaluate the charter of demand, then determine the financial impact, and then management would prepare and hand over the charter of demand based on the business plan and the company guidelines to the union. Then there will be data collection, reason wise and industry survey, companies data, wages, benefits and service conditions wise. Then management committee would be formed for strategy, roadmap and negotiation team to provide inputs on union's charter of demand and management strategy to the negotiation team. And then, you know, finally, the approval will be sought from the management. There will be awareness training to negotiating team and workers on company status, prepare framework and ground rule for negotiation and share with the union. So, you know, workers would approach from their own understanding standpoint, but management has to factor into the company's condition, company's strategies, etc., etc., take into account the available resources, the purpose of the organization, and the team who is going to negotiate the charter of demand from the management with the union, they should be trained enough to A, how to take forward the discussion and how to negotiate with the union. So the negotiation with union will happen. In case of difficulty in getting success in negotiations, well, the labor commissioner's office could be requested to intervene and conciliation proceedings will happen. In case of more difficulty in getting success in negotiation, the matter will be go for adjudication. Further negotiation with union will happen. There will be finally, memorandum of understanding will be created jointly. And then, the draft settlement will be prepared. Then the legal position will be sought and the settlement will be signed. So that is the process flow. So far, the charter of demand preparation to settlement signing is concerned. The mutual relationship among the employees and those between employees and employers, which are based on vital parameters such as trust, empathy, cooperation, compassion, must be developed in advance. So this must be clear that the such kind of discussion, negotiation and settlement do not happen in the realm of manipulation and maneuvering and just a smart communication skill. It needs a lot of trust, a lot of empathy, cooperation and compassion. Hence, the evaluation of industrial relations status must be done beforehand. That's very, very important. Well, now moving on. What is the role of industrial psychology in the workplace? Well, industrial psychologists work with an organization's human resource department. For what? For observing the employee's behavior in the work environment. For assessing organizational workflows and practices and identifying opportunities for improvement. Why these things are important? To enhance the productivity, to create the safe workplace, to create the safe and good work environment, so to speak. So psychologists play a very, very important role. Industrial psychologists assist the human resource department with the development of recruitment process and the selection of personnel. In the sense that what type of, mental orientation is required to do a particular job, to work in a particular environment. So that mental makeup can be assessed with the help of expert, and in this case of psychologist. Industrial psychologists perform job analysis where the skills and abilities necessary to perform a specific job can be effectively determined and done. Employee satisfaction and work life is a concerned with employee satisfaction, motivation, health, safety, and well-being. In this respect, the role of industrial psychologists is to evaluate employees' well-being and happiness at work. Well, well-being is a very vast and complex subject, as human being is a complex entity, as we all know. What gives you a sense of happiness and well-being may not give me the same kind of sense of well-being and happiness. So there, the psychologist's role becomes very, very vital. Industrial psychologists help organization with the measurement and management of employee performance. Very important role. An organization would engage in industrial psychologists to determine how efficient, productive, and profitable the organization is, and to assist with matters pertaining to corporate culture and structural changes within the organization. The employees may engage, employers may engage a professional industrial psychologist consultant to conduct, analyze, and present feedback on employee assessments. So at the end, I would like to say that, the labor management cooperation is indeed very, very important for sort of the growth of the organization and for unleashing the potential of every human being. That said, the labor management cooperation practices are different for different organizations. There are some organizations in India who have taken this labor management cooperation practices in very, very positive manner, and they are actually truly reaping the benefit. But unfortunately, there are still many organizations who have not taken this labor management cooperation concept in a right manner, so to speak. With this, thanks a lot.